Can you please introduce yourself and tell me about the work you do?
My name is Azra Talatay. Mm-hmm. I come from Pakistan and I work with an organization there. It's called Roots for Equity. Roots for Equity is an anti-globalization group and has been working for the past 13, 14 years on issues of agriculture, basically, with small farmers and landless farmers, both men and women. Our basic area of work is to organize farmers to form alliances and work against the imposition of neoliberal policies on farming practices.
So you're doing a lot of things for your country and the farmers there. Just wanted to know what has been your inspiration? How did you get started?
Well, it was I personally got inspired by, I was a graduate student doing my work around TRIPS, which is the seed patent law. It's also the seed patent law. It has many intellectual property rights laws under it. But basically when I was going through that document and reading about the WTO, the World Trade Organization, it was very clear that if these laws, these agreements are passed, people in our countries, especially countries like Pakistan, where agriculture is our main livelihood, people will be without livelihood and there will be massive levels of hunger and increasing poverty in the country because the inputs into agriculture are all controlled by transnational corporations, agrochemical transnational corporations, something like, corporations like Monsanto, Syngenta. They hold patent rights. They hold. They sell inputs like fertilizers, pesticides, even seeds to our farmers at very high rates, and our farmers cannot buy that. So once you cannot buy those inputs, you cannot do any kind of agriculture. You cannot actually practice agriculture anymore.
So in the work that you have done, what have you struggled with, and how did you overcome these obstacles?
I won't say we have overcome them as yet, but okay. We have. The biggest struggle has been to make farmers understand that there is a need for political unity, because terms like the WTO and TRIPS are really alien to people, especially people who cannot read and write. Mm-hmm. So our struggle has been to understand their reality and connect them to this macro-level policy, which is actually taking away their livelihood and is increasing hunger in their communities, in our communities. So that has been a struggle. For us to understand how do we engage with small farmers, how do we create systems of communication where all this knowledge can be taken to the people and be used as a tool for organizing. Okay. So it has been a struggle, it continues to be a struggle, but we have gone a long way. Because the more you speak with farmers, the more you understand their livelihood issues, their economic, social issues, you can then start finding ways of connecting those issues to the macro-level policies. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear, actually, it's clearer to the farmers. And we realize that for us it seemed hard. It was easier for the farmers because that was their reality. They knew that seed prices were high. They knew that chemicals taking away the fertility of their land. Chemical fertilizers are very bad for land. That pesticides were impacting their health very badly, especially women, because women do a lot of work on the farms. And the use of pesticides impacts women terribly. You know, it changes their menstrual cycle, it increases abortion in them, and it increases cancer, all kinds of cancer. Water is contaminated, which is very bad for our children, because those chemicals can actually distort and stop intellectual growth. Mm-hmm. So children can go through mental retardation as well as physical retardation.
So it has become a greater problem than...
Yes, yeah. It is a huge problem now in the rural areas. Mm-hmm. Pesticides are also used as a tool of suicide by people, because as they lose hope in their lives, as things become very difficult for them to cope with, it's easily available, huh? And so they use it just to kill themselves.
And today at this conference, what is the significance of this conference? What do you expect to gain out of it and give to the women that are here today?
I think the significance for us in Pakistan is tremendous because the women's movement is quite weak in Pakistan. And it is critical that we have an anti-imperialist alliance and a front which is global, which is international, so that it can give an impetus to bringing more and more women into a framework of anti-imperialism. Of course, the women movement also has different frameworks. But to have an anti-imperialist agenda is lacking at the moment and is critically needed because in the context of Pakistan, we are being called fundamentalists, we are being called terrorists, and everybody forgets that it is the United States which had basically the very first go in creating these so-called terrorists in the 1970s when there was this Soviet Union and the Americans were fighting over Afghanistan. The Americans put a lot of money into Pakistan to create a radical Muslim culture so that they could be used to fight the Soviet Union, because the Soviet Union were communists, and so the Muslim men were taught that the communists are anti-God. And so they created this fundamentalist culture. And there are billions of dollars which were spent in Pakistan to create that kind of a culture. And today those people who were made to fight the Soviet Union and have now kind of just turned around and are now calling other people similar names and are going around, you know, creating a fundamentalist culture. So that's another struggle which has been on our agenda in Pakistan, especially the women's movement, how to make it clear that fundamentalism and the war on terror are actually just two coins of imperialism. They're both imperialistic tools being used by imperialist countries against us, against the people, especially the women, because, you know, a jihadi culture, a fundamentalist culture is terrible for women.
So how can you get the people, or rather the women, to not just hear, but listen and take action on your vision?
It is a continuous struggle. Yeah. It needs for women to be organized, for women groups to come together and try and understand the reality of their lives. There is increasing hunger and poverty in our countries. There is increasing levels of illiteracy, especially in Pakistan. And the way to overcome these things is only to have a militant struggle, is to have a very, very assertive movement, which will claim, a women's movement will claim its rights back and push that anti-imperialist out of our nation.
And lastly, do you have any words of advice to the young youth, the youth of, you know, Montreal or all over the world?
No, I don't want to give advice. I just want them to, you know, actually it's been wonderful. There was a workshop yesterday where I was speaking, and in the room I noticed that at least 50% of the participants were young women. And it was an intense, about 2 hours, 2.5 hours of a workshop, but they were there and they were listening and they were trying to figure it out. And that gives me hope, you know. It's not that I can give you advice. I take heart from the young women who are around me, because when I see them, I feel that as we grow older and it becomes more and more difficult for us to remain as active as we have been, I feel that it's okay because you people are there and you will take it on.
Thank you so much for your time. We've all learned a lot from you, and I hope that we will see each other again in the future. Thank you.